Maverick News presents The Rick Walker Show. Defrag your mind.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Rick Walker. Welcome back to the Maverick News Channel. Hello, Maverick family. And hello, new viewers, wherever you may be tuning in from. Are you ready? The experts, the pundits, just about everyone out there, I think it's pretty much unanimous. Things are going to get worse. Especially now that we've seen this aid package for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan passed in the House yesterday. $95 billion. It's a lot of coin, man. It's a lot of money and a lot of gums flapping out there. A lot of experts, a lot of opinions flowing from all sides. From people who know nothing to people who are supposed to be experts to influencers and pundits who keep on getting it wrong. Everybody has an opinion. And there's a saying that goes along with that I'm not going to repeat here. But I think it is probably true that this whole situation is likely to get a whole lot worse before it gets better. Because it's like we've been in a third world war now for a while, but it's some stupid game that is being played where there are certain rules that are in force, and Russia, the United States, the UK, the European Union, China, Iran, Israel, You're allowed to do this, but you're not allowed to do that. The United States can stand back in the shadows, provide weapons, assistance, maybe put some personnel in place in strategic locations secretly and be involved, but not be held responsible directly. Russia doing much the same thing. We'll talk about that tonight. It seems like we are just on the cusp of just a full-blown admission that we are actually into a third world war. And what predicates everything that I'm talking about tonight? The memory of Ronald Reagan saying that if fascism ever comes to America, it will come in the name of liberalism. A man ahead of his time. We are seeing it happen right now. We'll talk about it on the other side.
Maverick News. The world is watching.
The New World Order. Government overreach. The Great Reset. Mainstream media lies. Now more than ever, independent voices are needed. Donate now at freedomreporters.com. That's freedomreporters.com. Maverick News. The antivirus program for your mind.
Tonight's program might be a little shorter than normal. I just have some personal stuff that I need to take care of. So I'm not sure how long I'll go tonight. Maybe it'll go full length. I don't know. It depends. But if I end up coming up a little bit shorter in time this evening, just forewarning you, it's just because I have a lot of other things to take care of here this evening. But I wanted to come on and talk to everybody. I was thinking of not doing this tonight because I do have so much to deal with today and tomorrow, but I couldn't let tonight slide because everything is so crazy. Everything makes no sense. It makes sense if you really pick it apart, dissect it. But even then, it's like this doesn't make sense when you look at the history. You know, it's like, what's a fascist? What's a Nazi? What's a what's an anarchist? What do all these labels mean? And then you start to look back through history, and you try to bring that forward and use that to make sense out of what is going on right now, because they always say everybody likes to just, you know, repeat that phrase. We have to learn from history, otherwise we're doomed to repeat it. Yeah, okay. I guess so. But I don't know if it's adequate. It's not enough to just look back at history. Because one, history, they keep rewriting it. There's a lot of cliches. A lot of cliches being thrown around in history. People get fixated on the symbols, the flags, the swastika, the hammer and the sickle, the symbols. You know, they get hung up on that stuff. And things evolve over time, and you cannot always predict the actions of a nation state, of politicians, dictators. You can't predict what they're going to do based on what's happened historically, because basically they're going to do whatever they need to do at any given moment in time to preserve their power, to enhance their power, to acquire more power so that they have more leverage against their adversaries globally. There's political realism that comes into play. It isn't just like, well, we did this in 1952, and we did this in 1937, so we have to do this. They're not always as married to their ideology as you might think. And that's why you see shifting alliances all the time. Geopolitically, you see now different countries supporting different actions, coming out against this, supporting that, and it doesn't seem to make sense if you start to think of things in terms of just political ideology. Well, why would, you know, does it make any sense for liberals to support fascists? On the surface, you might say no. Does it make any sense for Israel to be supporting Ukraine if Ukraine is really full of Nazis? And if Nazis are supposed to be the ones that want to kill all the Jews, why is Israel coming out to support, very much so, if you look at what goes on social media, Ukraine? It doesn't seem to make sense. I mean, that's the sort of the main one that just like flies in your face. It doesn't make sense. And how can the people supporting, how can some people be supporting Palestine and accusing Israel of being Nazis when it's the Nazis that wanted to exterminate the Jews? But what is fascism Well, is it ethno-nationalism, or is it the marriage of corporations and the state? Is it, like, what is fascism? What is Nazism? These are concepts, ideologies, labels that are just thrown around pretty randomly. They have been for a long time. Without people really always defining what they mean. What is democracy? What is freedom? Seems every group grabs a hold of that phrase, freedom. I've said this many times. What does freedom mean to you? I've tried to have conversations about it here. Sometimes it just doesn't seem to go anywhere. It seems to mean different things to different people. It's an all-encompassing term. These ideas, these words, these labels are thrown around, and I don't think any of them are helping us understand right now what is really going on. So I have a giant cup filled with caffeine, extra super large size, to try to put my brain into a place where I can try to understand some of this stuff while I sip on that. Oh my goodness. You see what I mean? It doesn't make sense. How can Ukraine, full of Nazis, be supporting Israel? And then you hear all these accusations. It's like, oh, you know, well, ever since World War II, the United States has just been a Nazi country. And yet if you listen to, because they let some of the Germans in, some of those German scientists, and so they just took over the government. Sorry, I'm not buying that. It's just too simplistic. It's more complicated than that. And even if you listen to Ronald Reagan, and again, it comes back to him saying, if fascism ever comes to America, it will come in the name of liberalism. And we're seeing it happen in real time, right now. Mm-hmm. And it's scary. We have a problem. We definitely have a problem. And, you know, people, we've been subjected to this constant anti-American, and I'm part of it. I admit, I've been very, 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 very critical of our governments. Justifiably so, in many respects. But I don't want to tear the country down. I want to fix it. There's a difference between constructive criticism, even harsh constructive criticism, and a desire to fix problems. And then there are those who are acting out of malice. They want to tear it all down, destroy it, you see. And there are actors out there working right now to do exactly that. Many of them, foreign actors, even if they are domestic, they are foreign actors, compromised, corrupted. Maybe some of our politicians, bureaucrats, spies, influencers, some of them former military, some of them maybe current military, some of them in, you know, retired, whatever, cops, just average run-of-the-mill people. It's happening. Make no mistake. And it is having a serious impact, and we do have a problem because nobody seems to trust anything anymore. They don't, people have very, well, I shouldn't say nobody. Half the country, say. Half of Canada, half the United States, no longer have any trust for cops, for our medical system. Doctors don't trust them. I know people who won't go to the doctor at all anymore. They won't even go to the doctor, even when they get sick. I know somebody who got into an accident and won't go to the doctor. Don't trust the doctor. See, that's a little too much. Doctor can set your broken bones up okay. I'm going to a doctor tomorrow, as a matter of fact. A new doctor that I have, and I trust him. I met him, And yeah, he seems like a very, very smart guy. I feel very fortunate to have access to him. And you know, I talk about the medical system, and I'll just make a short comment on that right here because it's all related. This new doctor I have, I won't tell you his name. I'm not even sure exactly what country he's from, but he's from the Middle East. And young guy, and trained by a specialist that I'd been seeing before, and he's local here, so now I have access to a local specialist instead of having to drive all the way to Toronto. Very fortunate to have him. Had a meeting with him, and wow, I'm so impressed and grateful to have access to him. I mean, I still think the healthcare system here is cracking under the strain of everything and inadequate funding and incompetent management and far too much socialism injected into it, so it's stretched beyond its limits. It's not running efficiently at all. But anyway, the point is, things are still there. I mean, it's the things are still in place. And this guy, I trust him. So he's got the training. He's got the knowledge. He's young. He's ambitious. He's, I think he's quite bright. So very fortunate. Anyway, all that being said, people just don't trust anymore, right? Big problem. So here we are, we're involved in a third world war, and every day, all the time, all I hear about is anti-Canada this, anti-American that. I'm on a steady drip of it too, and some of it, yeah, it's valid, some of it isn't. Is there too much censorship? Darn right, our channel got hit with strikes on YouTube again yesterday, overnight. It's just, it's never ending. But who's responsible for that? I don't know. Is that just the CIA? It's always the CIA. Did we deserve it? Not really, but it's their platform. And yeah, I think that, you know, some of the stuff that the stuff that was posted probably did violate their terms of service. So technically, yeah. Anyway, YouTube. Sorry about that, YouTube. Don't mean to be a bad boy. Anyway. So it's gone too far, and Trudeau, with all of his censorship bills, people not happy about it. They say, you know, he's a dictator. Well, yes and no. Yes. Yes. And a little bit of no. You have to understand, too, that governments respond, right? And if a government or a country or nation state feels threatened, they will respond to preserve their power, to preserve their sovereignty. So we've seen that in Canada. I think that right now, honestly, and take note of what I'm about to tell you, because I think some people are misinterpreting what's going on. We saw just in the last week or so, the federal government defense minister coming out saying that, yeah, I mean, they're taking steps to possibly even position the military so that it can engage in civil defense, which means to defend the government, the country, against internal threats, the military. I think that's the first time in history ever, you know, to be done. Even though the Emergencies Act was passed during the Freedom Convoy, it was used. The use of the Emergencies Act. They never actually brought the military out. They did use police in a very brutal way. And that was a mistake because that just destroyed so much public trust. But in every case, and you can look at this in every country, all over the place, all over the world, all the time, all through history, when a government feels threatened, they begin to become more authoritarian. And the more authoritarian they become, the more the accusations fly that they're authoritarian. And indeed, they are becoming more authoritarian because they usually don't know what else to do. So historically, because, you know, media worked differently in the past, they would be able to crack down on dissent, grab somebody who is, you know, threatening to overthrow the government, for instance, and just throw them in the castle slammer. Right? And who the hell would know any different anyway? There was no social media, no television back in those days. And even after the printing press was developed, you know, there was still limited distribution. They could control information flow more easily. Now, though, I mean, it's a whole different story. It is a game. It is a war of information. And everything is in real time. And people walk around with these phones and cameras and live streaming. And every single thing that is done is live streamed, right? So everybody sees things in real time from multiple angles. And now the government is under more scrutiny than ever before. Oh, I have to mention that too. FISA. Gotta talk about that. That's something that happened, and glad I reminded myself just talking about secrecy and transparency. So you see, this is the trap that governments can fall into, and this is what Justin Trudeau got wrong. Oh, he got it so wrong, and they're still getting it wrong. He's not bright enough to understand the complexities and the sophistication of modern fifth-generation warfare. What's going on out there? All these protests in the streets? Freedom convoy, people on the side of the highway protesting Axe the Tax, which is a Pierre Polyev branded thing, by the way, that people over here have latched onto. There's fifth generation warfare going on there in 3D chess. I'm telling you, that's not just Pierre Polyev telling those people to protest out at the side of the highway. They've latched onto that slogan for a purpose, and it's not to help him. I don't think so. No, there's something more going on there. Guaranteed. Not to say that there aren't supporters of Pierre Polyev within that circle, but they're doing it in his name. If anything goes wrong, just saying, if anything goes wrong anywhere down the line and it's his brand all over it, ain't going to look so great for Pierre Polyev and the Conservatives, is it? Fifth generation warfare, 3D chess. Trump's not the only one who plays that. And I smell something. It's in the air. Something's a-brewing up there, out there. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's imminent, or so we're told. I don't think that they have the numbers from what I'm seeing and hearing, and I'm not really in the loop on this. Just saying. More caffeine. Need it. Oh my goodness. Truth. Isn't it inconvenient? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Freedom. Freedom. Let's tear it all down. Who's calling for tearing it all down? Seems like everybody wants to tear it all down. Where the government's accused of wanting to tear it down. Justin Trudeau wants to tear it all down. Everybody wants to tear it down. Everybody that hates Justin Trudeau wants to tear it down. I don't know. There aren't too many people who don't want to tear it down. I guess the Conservatives don't really want to tear it down because they are opposition, but they are His Majesty's loyal opposition, which people who want to tear it all down latch onto and use as fuel for their fire, saying it's a one uniparty government thingy and voting doesn't matter because they're all on the same side. That's because the whole idea behind our government is not to tear it all down with every election. It's to have the system carry forward so that there is stability in our country so that you can vote, have an election, and move ahead with a change in government that's peaceful and orderly, and so that we don't have bloodshed or disruption in our services. So you have the loyal opposition, His Majesty's loyal opposition, loyal to the country, loyal to the system, in opposition to the government of the day, that may be employing policies that the loyal opposition does not agree with. So when they have a peaceful transition of power after an election where the government loses, if the liberals lose, you would have a peaceful transition. The conservatives come in, the system continues, they take it over, and then they go to work reforming it in some way, or massaging it, changing it, you know, changing the legislation, the laws, the policies, the budget, spending the money in different ways, taxing people in different ways. They just adjust everything to fit their ideology and their policies, and they get 1 year if a minority, 2 years, whatever, maybe up to 4 years or so to try to implement their plan. And then they go back to the polls, and maybe we continue with what we have, maybe we have a change, but that's the way it's supposed to work. But no, a lot of people, that's not good enough anymore. I'm watching a guy who maybe I'll have him on the program here if he is brave enough to come on, listening to him overnight talking about Muammar Gaddafi. This is a freedom fighter. Oh, wasn't Muammar Gaddafi a great guy? And look, oh, he treated his people so well. Muammar Gaddafi, dictator, there was a leader for people. See, he was a great guy. Our system of government, however, that's got to go. Let's burn the Canadian flag, tear it all down. And he wants you to go out there. And he says that he'll be the leader now. Where there was never a leader before, now he says he wants to be the leader. He'll do it because nobody else wants to. And he's ready to go. Just got to give the signal, apparently. I don't think it's going to happen because I don't think he has enough idiots out there to follow him. Now, if he's brave enough, I'll have him on the program. And we'll have a discussion about this. And he can tell us about how wonderful the dictator Muammar Gaddafi was and how tearing down our government is going to benefit you. And as I've been warning everybody here for a long time, some of these people asking you to get out there and fight, fight, fight. Stand up. Rise up. Rise up. Trudeau. F. Trudeau. Yeah, where are we going? All right, you're leading this. Where do we go? Which cliff do we drive off next? More caffeine. The Muammar Gaddafi cliff. That's a good one. There's lots of freedom there. Oh, man alive. I told you. I've been telling you and telling you and telling you. Some of these people are so freaking fake. You think you're going to get democracy when you go out and follow that? When you're going to get democracy on the other side?
Well, we don't believe in democracy because it's a uniparty and there's nothing that you just, your vote doesn't count and everything. So, you know, it's, but they're so corrupt because your vote in the voting is in fraud, and it's in that you got to restore the democracy, but
there is no democracy with these people. And so, you know what? I'll sure as hell tell you this. You are not going to have a vote if you follow these people on the other side. You get no vote. You don't get a say, man. You're going to get yourself a dictator. You think Trudeau's a bad dictator? You wait until you get the next thing that's coming after they tear the system down. I've been telling you, the system is what's been protecting us. As corrupted as it has become, and as twisted and undermined as the politicians have made it, it's still a hell of a lot better than a Canadian version of Muammar Gaddafi. But hey, man, if that's your cup of tea, I'm going to drink this instead. But you go ahead. You go ahead and see what happens. Are you following me? I doubt very much. I don't know how many people have seen this guy's stuff. He's been out there, though. I mean, I didn't even mean to talk about him tonight, but here we go. And you know why? He just comes up in this conversation. These idiots.
Take your kids to the side of the Trans-Canada Highway with your pets. It's a carnival. It's not just a protest. It's safe.
Protest, man. Go ahead. But don't take your kids. It ain't safe. Especially not if they get what they want. Are you hearing me? Don't take your kids. And there's stuff going down, apparently, real soon. So we're told, publicly, if you know where to look. And I'm sure that the people who really not need to know. Because they're probably seeing exactly what I'm seeing out there. It's all, what do they call it? Oh yeah, open source. Here we go again. But they're not overthrowing the government or nothing. No. No, that's not what they want at all. Well, you know. They're peaceful. Except when they said that they weren't gonna be. And of course, you know, people are gonna hate on me now because I'm telling you the truth. Isn't that truth so darn inconvenient? It's okay when they tell you the truth and then just flip back to, again, the soft language when, you know, where they're not really telling you the truth, but they're like, you know, we don't really want to overthrow the government or anything. It's just stupid.
We're going to give you freedom, Muammar Gaddafi style.
But they don't know what to do, see, because they just can't seem to latch on and get the numbers. And then they had the big march and they thought for a while there maybe there was going to be this alliance. Remember when the Muslims were kind of like, it seemed like they were aligning with everything because of the children's issues and the pedophilia and all of that. And it seemed like it was a match made in heaven. And that lasted for about 10 seconds. Because then that ethno-nationalism just seemed to kind of creep back in there somehow. And all that bigotry and prejudice on all sides started to flow again. And then everybody started to hate everybody again. And it's just flowing everywhere now. Everybody's hating on everybody and can't seem to come together. Gotta have unity. Unity, 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 unity. Hey, go get one of them unity flags, eh? Because that's all about, is that about individual rights and freedoms? Is that about limited government? Is that about freedom? Sure looks a whole lot like globalism to me, given that that flag has all those continents on it. But, you know, that's just details. We'll worry about all that after it's all torn down. And they're tearing it down. Right now, before your very eyes, you know, it's happening. And that's giving more and more fuel to the haters and the bigots and the people who are really negative, and it's just fueling the negativity and the anger. And they're using that to get everybody out there. It seems like civil discourse just gone right out the window. Anybody here know who Erwin Chemerinsky is? He's the dean of the UC Berkeley School of Law. Had some students over for a party. Didn't go so well. This is how stupid things have become, how inflamed. Here, watch. I don't know what else to tell you, man. So he has these students over, and this is how they act at his home.
Hello everyone, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace and blessings upon you all. Tonight, we are gathered here in the name of commemorating our final few weeks as law students.
This is my house.
Tonight is also the last night of the holy month of Ramadan, where millions of Muslims around the world fast, not only
We have attorneys.
Okay, you don't have to get
Please leave our house. You are guests at our house.
This is our First Amendment right.
No, this is my house.
It is. The National Lawyers Guild has informed us this is our First Amendment right, and they are aware of this. They are not wrong.
This is my house.
This is my house, and you're no longer welcome here.
You are not welcome.
Okay, you can call the police.
No, I don't.
You can call the police. I'm getting a
Please stop touching her.
Just please leave. If you don't want to be here, leave my house. Please leave my house if you don't want to be here. This is your my guest
you
in my
are not
house.
Invited for this purpose.
We are talking about Ramadan and the holy month of Ramadan as Muslim students. We refuse to break our fast on the blood of Palestinian people. The UC has committed sending $2 billion to weapons manufacturers.
And
we're just giving a speech about Ramadan and the holy month. If you can grab me the mic back, I will leave.
Good. Okay.
But will you please give me the mic? Please, will you give me the mic back? Let me turn it off.
Please turn it off. I'll turn it off. You're not a guest. You're a guest in my house.
I know, but 40,000 people are dying. 40,000 Palestinian peoples are dying. And
if you don't wish to be here, please leave my house.
Is giving $2 million
please
to weapons manufacturers.
House.
I encourage everyone here.
It is incredibly rude of you to abuse our hospitality in this way.
And join us in walking out.
There's a genocide going on. There's a genocide.
Then don't come
you
here.
You haven't done anything about divestment.
Please leave
you
my house.
Done anything about divestment.
I don't invest in anything. I'm not going to argue with you. This is a party.
The law school
is not invested in anything.
The Council on American Islamic Relations, SF, will be hearing how you pulled a Muslim woman's scarf during Ramadan. Putting your hands on my hijab is unacceptable. By grabbing my arm, you will hear from KRSF, you will hear from Cal Legal. And the fact that your wife was able to assault a Muslim Palestinian hijabi student is not great.
Please leave our house. Please leave our house now!
This is not your place.
We're leaving.
This is my home.
I had a home in Palestine too, and people took it as well.
Yeah. Think we're not in trouble? Might have a bit of a problem. Just a bit of a problem. Yeah, the free speech laws don't really quite apply right there in the guy's home. Yeah, we've tried to talk about free speech right here on this channel and have a serious discussion about it. It was a bit of an experiment, a chat, people calling in. You know, it's an experiment that has been very interesting, and I think that it's illustrated the challenges that we all face, and the treasure that we had prior to all of this rise in censorship. You see, when people abuse it or try to exercise free speech where they really don't have the right to exercise full free speech because there are limits, then you get crazy situations like that, disrespectful behavior. We've seen it on display here in the chat, and we've seen it on display in people calling in here. This is like a micro version, a micro experiment. In the broader context of free speech. But anyway, that's a sidebar. Man, we had it sweet there for a while, didn't we? In this country and in the States too, I think. Especially in Canada though, man. We had it. It was pretty good. But nope. Wasn't good enough for some people. Had to F it all up. Here we go. Tear it all down! Man alive. I want it back. So we'll just keep on working at it, chipping away at it here every night. $95 billion and more military aid going to Ukraine. I don't know what the right thing to do is at this point. I mean, I was against everything from the beginning. I'm like, no, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't go NATO. Don't go any closer. Don't stop. Don't. Big mistake. Now we're in. Now it's like halfway, right? A lot of dead people. War is still going on. Now you've got the whole thing over in Israel and Gaza and Palestine, Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis in the Yemen, and you've got all the craziness and all the propaganda, and this happened and that happened, and Iran and the biggest rocket missile drone attack thing against Israel ever. Hardly anything got through, but don't you hit back. Punch buggies, no punchbacks. United States telling Israel, don't you dare. And then you see this other limited strike back, and now we're starting to get more information flowing and a better handle on what's going on, what went on this past week with all of that scary stuff that seemed to bring us right to the brink again of a third world war and maybe a nuclear conflict. And what did we really see happen there? I mean, it was more significant, as I said, just, you know, again yesterday, than anybody really realized. What Israel did, I think, is the first piece of wisdom I've seen out of the Netanyahu administration in a while, and the United States, for that matter, because it was very limited strike back. Very limited, strategic, and they were sending a message, as I said, to Iran. They took out some radar. They said, see what we can do to your radar. They showed their military capabilities. They were able to block all of the incoming stuff with the exception of maybe that one hypersonic missile or two that got through, caused minimal damage within Israel itself. And I think that's true. But now I'm hearing all kinds of crazy stuff out there. And again, I don't know what to make of all of this stuff, man, because I don't know how much of it's true. How much is fabricated? I heard a story today, and I'm just going to throw the story out there because I don't know if any of this is based in fact at all. That Israel had an F-35 jet up in the air. Maybe the United States was involved. Maybe they weren't. There was a nuke on board. They were going to blow the thing up over Iran, high altitude, so that it would take out the grid, their energy grid, with an EMP pulse, electromagnetic pulse from the nuclear weapon. Some independent report out there, and I don't need to get into all of that. I don't know how true it is. And the report says that Russia shot the F-35 down. And if that's true, man, like, that is really dangerous. And then we're hearing that all sides have agreed not to talk about it in public because they don't want full escalation and into some sort of a full-blown world war that could escalate into a full nuclear conflict. And I don't know if any of that is even true, but that's what's flowing out there. I mean, that's how craziness, all the craziness that's out there. My guess is there's probably not a lot of truth in it. It's probably not true, but I'm guessing. But I know that some of that information is going to make it back to you, to a lot of you. So I'm just putting it out there to say I think it's bunk, but I think what is true is that Israel struck back in a very limited way, very smart thing to do, not worth it to Iran to escalate beyond that little love tap, as I said, but they did show Iran that, hey, we can still touch you, we can do this, we know how your systems work, we can take out your radar. So everything's kind of scaling back. And I think that's the truth. I think that is, for the moment, truth. But the hypersonic technology, now it's an arms race. And I think a lot of this stuff, you know, these countries already have the technology. The United States, I think, already has the hypersonic technology as well. They just haven't put it on full display. We've seen, and I'm just bringing you up to date, you know, an arms trade show where Iran was displaying its missiles just this past week, showing off their capabilities. It's very destabilizing. They got that hypersonic technology from Russia. Now that they have that, it is destabilizing in the region, or at least it changes the power structure there immensely. So, everything, these crazy people who are running the world are trying to figure this stuff out on the fly. And then you hear the saber rattling. You hear the great Judge Galloway calling for Iran to enrich the uranium and proceed with the development and the implementation of nuclear weapons. That is a trial balloon. That's foreshadowing. That is, he's saying these things along with some other influencers out there who are pro-Iranian. They're letting you know that Iran is on the threshold of having it, if they don't already. And they're ready to roll it out, which will destabilize things even more. That's what that is. That's not just random talk. So yeah, when these, when everybody says things are going to get a lot worse before they get better, oh yeah, this is not over. This is a pause before a bigger storm, I fear. And all this stuff happening domestically, the protests in the streets, everything you're seeing, I don't think it's a coincidence that every time we get some sort of escalation geopolitically or like internationally, we get more activity in terms of protests and so on in the streets here in Canada and the United States. And this is today, Toronto. Here's Karim Assad again, just a brief clip from her. And please go check out her work. She's out there covering these protests like virtually every day. I don't know where she finds time to practice law. She is a lawyer. And they blocked streetcars, these pro-Palestinian protesters today in Toronto. They've taken over the streets. Those streetcars ain't going anywhere. Yeah, Marjorie Taylor Greene wants Speaker of the House to resign after that military aid package passed in the House yesterday, doubling down on that again today. What she's saying, the MAGA side of things, very much opposed, I would say, to the military aid package. And yet, you listen to, the smart people out there, like Professor Mearsheimer, who, I've heard him say, and I think quite correctly so, that NATO has really put its reputation on the line in Ukraine. And so if Russia prevails in Ukraine, it'll do serious damage to NATO. You're going to see fractures in Europe. This will have repercussions beyond Ukraine. And as he says, he does expect Russia will eventually win. And then we're hearing from Russia that, this additional money, this additional aid, they're saying it won't make any difference. I don't know if it will or if it won't. My guess is it will. It will certainly drag things on for a longer period of time. And the aid is expected to arrive there very soon as final approvals are worked out. the weapons are ready to flow again. They're going to turn that war machine back on. Zelensky today saying that he sees that there is a possibility Ukraine can win. That's what he said, now that the American aid is going to flow again. How much of that is truth? How much is propaganda? Time will tell. Everybody's spinning things. And yes, Lori is asking, do I have any footage from Columbia and Yale universities? I do have something queued up here from Columbia. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy out there. The tents, here it is here. So I know that this is pretty recent, this footage at Columbia University from today. Tent City, I guess, is growing there. And now the students have declared this a people's university. Remember that quote from Reagan? If fascism ever comes to America, it will come in the name of liberalism. Yeah, it seems so, because you've got all these lefty students from probably, you know, middle class and upper middle class homes, or even affluent homes. You have the privilege of living in a stable country where they can virtue signal the hell out of everything and go camp out on the campus in a tent and think they're doing the right things. You know, it could be any cause, but this week it's Palestine. Last week it was probably, I don't know, anti-capitalism. It was, you know, Occupy Wall Street. Just pick your issue. I don't think there's any real conviction there. They just go out and protest. But you mix in the authentic pro-Hamas crowd, things start to get a little squirrely for America. An existential threat, perhaps? I would say, yeah, maybe. Could be. That's, you know, you get into the minds of the youngsters and you control the next generation, and the trends kind of start there. Might have a little bit of a problem, America. Oh, this is the Toronto protest. Let me find you the right one. We want to go a little further south, across the border to America. This is not probably the most colorful video, but this is recent, very, very fresh. So they've taken over the campus, and this is now the People's University, apparently. Yeah, welcome to the People's University of Palestine. Yep. And so that's significant, I guess, because it's the People's University now, and the people's being, I think it goes beyond populism in the use of the word people's here. I think it's probably more further left, you know, to the extreme. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Laurie says, and thank you for this, $90,000 a year for tuition at Columbia. Middle class can't afford to go there. Elites only. Yeah, well, yeah, could be, I suppose. I'm not really that familiar with Columbia, being a Canuck. But, yeah. Yeah, and Laurie says, that's very tame video. You ought to see what happens after dark. Yeah, I have seen some of that. Let's see if we can find some. Shall we? Just for fun. How crazy it is out there. Let me just see here. It can't be that hard to find some crazy video out of Columbia University, can it? Students occupy the new school in NYC, so that's inside. This guy here is shouting and stuff. That's just a speech. Here's, this is last night. I'll just bring it up. Let's see what you, see what we have. It is that this does seem to be the center of the storm right now.
Who was here first? We were here first.
Your students were told, Yehudim, Yehudi, F you, stop killing children, go back to Poland, as they walked from campus to their dorm rooms.
Fuck you!
Stop killing children!
Here, let's just scroll down. We'll do a Twitter scroll. What's this one all about?
I'm gonna go head over here.
Looks a lot like the summer love again. Anybody good at putting up tents? Well, that's not that sensational. How about this?
You can walk through us.
We're here.
Don't get in my way!
What else do we have? Don't have to go too far. Just bring this guy up. How about that?
Columbia, we see you.
You in prison, student too.
You in prison, student too.
Follow the Pied Piper. Follow the Pied Piper. What else we got going on here? Night 4 of Gaza encampment. Here we go. It's got a good beat. You can dance to it. Where's Dick Clark when you need him? Don't know what it means. Don't know what I'm chanting. Don't really care. I'm with the crowd, and I'm gonna shout. Hey, Dick, I give it like a 7 out of 10, because it's got a good beat, and it's easy to dance to. On the Soul Train! How about this one? This one's a pretty good one. Just do, don't think. Yeah. Okay. What else we got? Any other cool stuff? How about this one?
The opportunity to stop it right now with everything we have from everywhere we are. We will resist genocide at our universities, at our workplaces, in the streets of New York City, and after our major life events, yes, like this wedding, because we will resist genocide, we will resist annihilation by any means necessary.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not really into the whole Intifada thing. It I just find it kind of distasteful. Just saying. Just not really into the whole let's kill people thing. Not my bag. Oh, here's a good shot of the tent city. We're on a roll. This Twitter scroll is just rich.
A promise to cherish, amplify, and protect.
All right. So the kids there are learning how to put up tents. Basket weaving 101 is down the hall and to the left. Camping 101 is in the courtyard. Here's a liberated zone. That's interesting. Gaza Solidarity Encampment. Well, at least they're using their time constructively. The children are our future. Oh, if it was a... Children of the elite. What do we got going on here? More of the same, I guess. They all look white to me. Except, not all white. In that one shot, it was a lot of white kids. Looks like a party! I don't know, when it comes down to the actual Intifada, do you think those kids are gonna be, really into it? Are they really ready? Are they ready for the Intifada? Imagine what the country's going to be like after the Intifada. What's America going to look like? What's Canada going to look like after all the land goes back? Where are you going to go? How's that going to play? Oh, yeah, Mr. Let's Have a Country, just like Muammar Gaddafi had. He's promising. This is a guy who, you know, doesn't like our system. He's promising free education for everyone, by the way, too. Oh, and he's also recommending that you pay off some of your bills in advance so that after you can get back to work right away. So it sounds like it's going to be a weekend revolution. I don't think it works that way. You know, if you even go back and look at the United States Revolution, 1776, didn't happen overnight. It actually took a long time. And there was a lot of bloodshed. Just saying. In reality, it took decades. Things might happen a little faster these days, I suppose, if you wanted to really tear it down. I suppose you could make it happen a little faster, but it ain't gonna happen in a weekend. Guaranteed. These kids... Yeah, my guess is they're not really ready for an Intifada in America. And they're going to miss what they've got when it's gone. These progressive, woke liberals, these, you know, and the other thing that doesn't make any sense, honestly, communists, fascists, they're all starting to sound the same to me. Yeah. Well, I guess you could find unity there. I suppose you could. At the expense, though, of maybe one group of people. And I'm not holding my finger up, number one, like, you know, the where we go one, where we go all. I just held it up just because. And it's not a Mason thing. You know, it's not a secret society thing. I just held up my first finger. That's all it means. It just meant one group of people. That's all it meant. Don't read anything into it. Just saying. I just held up my finger. I'm not a Mason. And even if I was, so what? Jesus. That's how crazy things are. Here's Benjamin Netanyahu speaking with Mark Levin. Is there any sanity in that? You know, I think that the conservatives on sort of the right, if you want to look at it that way, for a long time in America, they kind of kept things a little more stable and kept things from going over to the edge into the fascism realm and Nazism even, because they were focused so much on Constitution. Maybe not so much anymore. I think that we've, a lot of people in certain circles anyway, have gone over the edge. And it's scaring the crap out of me. But anyway, here's, and I'm not saying that's Levin, that he's a constitutionalist, but here he is interviewing Netanyahu.
What's the greatest threat right now that Israel faces?
Iran. You want the three threats?
Give me the three threats.
Iran, Iran, Iran.
So tell us why it's the number one, two, three threat.
Iran is trying to build an empire, an aggressive empire.
Okay, so, I mean, yep. Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's true. I wish it wasn't true, and I don't want to have a war with Iran, and I don't think the United States wants to have a war with Iran. I think a lot of people just don't want that to happen. I don't think we want escalation. But it seems like some people want a war, like Israel wants a war, Iran wants a war, I think Hamas wants a war, I think Hezbollah is determined to keep on launching rockets, and then the night before, I'm losing track of my time, but then we saw after the big attack from Iran, and then the little counterattack thing, and then we saw the next night attacks in Syria, and where else did we see attacks? Syria, Iraq, for sure. I think there was one other location, if I'm not mistaken. Was it Yemen? Maybe Yemen. Anyway. And then all the propaganda started to churn up, and I said, take it all with a grain of salt. Don't just take it at face value. You know, the accusations are flying that it was the United States. And I think, and there were apparently some limited attacks in those locations, but no evidence that it was the United States, maybe Israel. And you have to remember, too, that, you know, Israel has been under attack, and you've seen actually rockets, I think, launched at Israel from Iraq. So, you know, kind of hard to get upset when they shoot back. But punch buggy, no punchbacks. And that might sound juvenile, but that's the way it is. This whole thing is juvenile, deadly juvenile. And Trudeau, not the leader we need right now, because he can't bring people together. He plays both sides off against the middle. Here's Polyev with a post on Twitter. Is he going to be any better? I think we're going to find out, because I think he'll be elected and will probably be the next prime minister. Well, there he is, and he's firmly behind Israel. I condemn these pro-genocide anti-Semitic chants, he says. We stand with Jews in Canada and around the world against these malicious words and deeds. And there's this, which says, this is Ottawa. October 7th is proof that we are almost free. Long live October 7th. Long live the resistance. Long live the Intifada. This hate rally glorifies the rape and murder of Jews. It also makes the meaning of the word Intifada crystal clear. This must stop. There is a distinct difference in approach between Polyev and Trudeau on this file. That being said, you know, I think Polyev also is playing both sides because he needs to. They both need to because we do have a growing Muslim population. We have, you know, a strong Jewish population, communities as well. We have to learn to live together. I think they're doing their best to navigate through this, but Polyev, I think, is the guy who can potentially bring things together, but axe the tax. Those protests, more going on there than meets the eye. Those axe the tax protests using that Pierre Polyev slogan. He came up with that. That's a conservative thing, but not all those protesters are really on his side. Watch that very carefully. I bring all this up tonight because, you know, it is coming from sort of the left. It is the left that's supporting all of this instability in our streets. And I mean, just remove the whole Israel, Gaza, Hamas, Palestine thing, okay? And just look at what's going on here domestically. We have major disruptions in our streets and our communities all over the place. Just last night, John Scott Rimby out there, Red Deer, Alberta. Red Deer, Alberta, Canada, a community of 100,000 people, and he's telling us that they have protests in the streets on a regular basis, pro-Palestinian protests of like at least a couple of hundred people at a time. Do you know how hard it is to put together a protest of any kind with 200 people in a community of that size at any other given time, and yet it's happening on a regular basis out there? Well, I think we've got something serious going on. Better take note. What's it all mean? It's very destabilizing, isn't it? You have all these people blocking transit, blocking infrastructure, blocking roads, taking over the streets, calling for violence in the streets. The issue in Gaza aside, I'm looking at what's going on right here on the home front. This is a problem. But then really listen to what people are saying. And you see this overlap. You see and hear the same words, the same language, the same things coming from all these sides, some of which are supposed to be diametrically opposed ideologically and on policy and just in life. And yet they're saying the same things. And if they could get past the color of the skin thing and maybe the religion, they probably come together to the expense of one group of people. I just held my finger up. It's just the number one. That's all it means. Stop it. And these protests, I mean, yeah, here's Peter in the chat says, oh, it's organized. Oh, yeah, I agree with you, Peter. It's absolutely organized and funded and fueled on social media. Helped along a little bit. And we've seen proof of that, testimony from experts, intelligence experts, during the inquiry into foreign interference in Canada, our elections, our political processes, within the last couple of weeks. Oh, it's real. It is happening right now.
9/11 was an inside job.
Prove it. Prove it. Like, I mean, prove it. Somebody did it.
Oh, you did it to yourselves. You're all to blame, you all colonizers.
Prove it. The onus is on you to prove it. Because I know who benefits from all of that, and it ain't us. We sit there and self-flagellate. We torture ourselves and riddle ourselves with guilt. And accept blame for things I think that maybe sometimes other people are doing to us. Do you understand? And it's time to get really real. Or we're going to lose it all. All of it. And we're going to miss it when it's gone. I'm already missing it. The corruption within the government, that's not the system. That's not the government itself per se. That's corrupt people. Got to get rid of them. You understand? Got to fix it. Don't let people sit there and tell you that this is no damn good and it's all got to go. It don't work, because the people telling you that are the ones who have been chipping away at it all along, making sure it doesn't work. They're the ones who have been destroying it, tearing it down. They started tearing it down a long time ago. Fix it. Don't tear it down. If you tear it down, things are going to get a whole lot worse, guaranteed, and we're already on that road. Dial it back, man. I don't want to live in a Muammar Gaddafi-style dictatorship. I want people to be able to live together in peace. I want a return to tolerance, where you do your thing, I do my thing, I stay out of your business. I don't try to exert the influence and the force of the government upon you to make you live the way that I want you to live. You live your own life. I'll live mine. Government stays the hell out of it as much as possible. Government is there to make sure that there are limits placed on other people infringing on our rights. And these people looking up at the sky saying, but our rights come from God, are right, but they're getting it wrong. Because they're telling you that the government is corrupt and the government's not real and it's not even a real country, and that because your rights come from God, not from the government's got to go. No. The government is there to protect your rights. The government's supposed to be there not to give you the rights, which is what they think the government's there doing. No, they don't give you the rights. The government may recognize the rights in the Constitution and in the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, but those documents are really there to make sure that your rights are protected by limiting the power of the government. By saying that you do have these rights. We acknowledge that we have these rights because we already have a government of the people, whether they care to admit it or not. That's what the Constitution is. And yes, we do have the damn Constitution. Oh, Canada doesn't have a Constitution. This Constitution right here, yes, we do. It's right here. That's not legitimate, yeah? Well, who the hell gave you the right or the mandate to do anything anyway? Where does your mandate come from, Mr. I want to be Canada's Muammar Gaddafi? Come on my show. We'll have a discussion. I like you. I like the guy. I actually like him. He's just got it all wrong. They all do. All these people who want to tear it all down. You're going to miss it as much as I do when it's gone. You're going to want it back. And when it's gone, you ain't getting it back. Never. Because this is the last place on earth where we have it. At least we have the foundation still there. We gotta get it back, man. Or it's going to be gone forever. The whole world will suffer as a result. We have governments like this all across Europe. We're all in peril. It's, you know, and you've got this rise in, I would say, nationalism. The danger here is that in many cases it's turning into an ethno-nationalism. Because it's steeped in prejudice and bigotry. But it's also, it's not the old cliches. It's not quite like that. It is, but it isn't. You've got convergence. The left and the extreme left and the extreme right coming together. And you've got yourself a powder keg. I'm just telling you. You go ahead. You know, you follow these guys if you want. It's a highway to hell. Muammar Gaddafi style. And he's saying it out loud. I'm not playing him here tonight. If he wants to come on the show, we'll have a discussion. And it's all this stuff. It's, you know, anti-colonialism. It's all the crap we're getting at these rallies, too. Where are you going to go? We ain't got no place. I don't know where I'm going to go. I was born here, man. I don't even know my whole family history. It goes back so far in this country. I think there are a lot of people like that. And it's just not that simple. I'm sorry. It just isn't. So it's just not going to go down that way. It's going to turn into a struggle for power. It already is a struggle for power. That's really what it is. But I'm also, you know, I'm not going over there and I'm not joining that group of people. And I'm not going over there and I'm not joining that extreme group of people. And I'm not going to engage I'm seeing such vile things online. Doesn't need to go there. It's a trap, you know, when you latch onto that stuff, and I understand why people are feeling that way and saying the things that they're saying because they're feeling threatened. I get it. But it's not the answer. It's a trap. In the end, it will just lead to disaster. There are other solutions. And including for these people marching in the streets. Can't dial it, can't turn the hands of time back to 1977. Can't do it. We've got to deal with what's going on here right now. So we need leadership, we need vision, we need solutions. I don't know if we, you know, it's up to the people, man. It's up to the people. It's up to you. It's about choice. I go out in my community here. I walk around the block. I go down here. I just, people of all, from all walks of life, all different, we all get along. You take all the politics and the crap out of every, you know, at the end of the day, people just want to live their lives. They want to be productive. They want to have good schools for their kids. They want a future for their kids. We all want basically the same things. We want to be able to live our lives the way we want to live them. And that means just having respect and tolerance for people who are different than ourselves. We just have to get back to that. It's not even really that difficult. We can get there, man. Or not. Seems like we're on the path of not right now. $95 billion more. More weapons here, more weapons there. And I guess it's up to Vladimir Putin, too. And it's up to Antony Blinken and Joe Biden and maybe Donald Trump again. Or maybe RFK Jr. I don't know. It's up to these European countries as well. I don't know. Me? I just want it back. So I keep on working at it. Tearing it down. I know this. I don't want to live under Canada's Muammar Gaddafi. Okay? And that's the thing. Like, they don't tell you what they're really going to offer you on the other side. They just tell it, getting you all jacked up so that you get out there and you disrupt things. And as I said before, there are people waiting in the wings, in the shadows. If any of that ever comes to pass, they will emerge like the cockroaches they are. And they will insert themselves. But more than that, it's like, there are just different motives in play here. It's about just disrupting the country is what it is. So these people out there marching around in the streets doing all these things, they're pawns. Just being used for political purposes. And what you're seeing on the streets here right now, it is, in my estimation, it's a color revolution in the works. Slowly, slowly unfolding. Slowly rolling out, week over week, building and building and building. It's just been ongoing, especially since the pandemic. And Canada's in play, the United States is in play, and you know what? If the United States falls, Europe falls. Europe would fracture. And if you could overthrow the United States with sort of a soft coup through a color revolution fueled by just massive protests over time and internal strife and conflict within the political system itself so that things just start to fall apart and you get some sort of a weird separation of the country, dissolution of it, dissolvement, even a possible weird sort of civil war, modern. Think it couldn't happen? Oh, I think it could. People talk about it. I hope not. But if the United States falls, Europe, which has been since World War II sort of under the American umbrella, NATO, 75 years, really all those countries just doing pretty much what the United States tells them to do in return for security. You take the U.S. out of it, and now each of those countries will go about the business of ensuring, well, just looking out for themselves, basically, is what they will end up doing. And NATO will be fractured. I don't think it would survive. Then see where Europe ends up. So that's the trick, see? But you can see it. You can see it in the streets, man. You think that we're not under attack? It's online. It's in the streets. It's not just people think about war sort of in World War II terms because we see it on, the movies and we understand how that sort of works. But no, this is a different kind of war. It's an information war. It's an online war. It's a war of destabilization. It's on our campuses. It's in our streets. Every single day now. And these political groups, the Achilles heel, the vulnerability of our free society, of freedom itself, is freedom. The vulnerability of freedom of speech is freedom of speech. Do you get it? Because here, people who want to tear the system down, people who are actually malicious, want to destroy everything, they get to come in and they get to exercise their right to free speech. They get to say what they want and then use the system as protection for their attacks on the system. But if they get control, they do what even Justin Trudeau is doing right now, because he's under threat and it's gone so far, he's now responding with censorship legislation to protect himself. So he's saying, yeah, there's free speech for me, but not for you. That's the way it works when you have authoritarians. So if this other guy, who's, I think, you know, it would be way worse than we even have right now with Trudeau, because at least we get to try to vote him out. But you get these other people in. Look, do they have democracy in Iran? I don't think so. Not our kind of democracy. Do they, did Muammar Gaddafi have democracy? No, I think he was just a leader while he was there. He was just the guy. Did he treat his people well? You could argue that. And I suppose a dictatorship could be a good thing if you have a kind, benevolent dictator who really is committed to taking care of his people. Okay. Till he dies and the next guy comes in. Maybe the next guy isn't so kind. And the people don't have anything to say about it. No, man, you know, people, you should have a voice. It matters. You think your vote doesn't matter? It matters. Get the hell out there and vote. Get organized. Get involved. Get involved in your community. Make your community better. You have the opportunity to do that. You can build it up. I don't want to live under Canada's Muammar Gaddafi. I don't want to live in a dictatorship. At least when things go bad, here you still get to vote. Maybe you don't believe in it. Served us pretty well for 150 years plus in this country and in the United States too. The alternative, not so much. Shining city on a hill. What a concept. A myth? Maybe. Feels like it's all slipping away, though. Doesn't have to. Well, I could go on. I was going to talk about this, the renewal of Pfizer and the 702. I'll just, I'll make mention of it here. This was actually earlier this week, a couple of days ago. FISA Section 702 renewal bill, it cleared procedural vote. It's been approved. So this is the FISA, right? This is what allows the government to spy on people. Without a warrant, in particular, if they're going to spy, like, internationally, not so much domestically, but this is the legislation 702, Section 702 renewed. So this is how they were able to spy on Trump. And I think it was going for a 5-year renewal, but correct. It was approved for 2 more. So it's been renewed. Thank you, Joe Biden. Just make mention of it. But, you know, again, this is a very interesting and complex question. I know a lot of people, and Trump included, he's like, got to get rid of FISA. He's against it. Would he do anything about it if he was elected again? Probably not. Because, you know, that's the thing about the government, right? Especially in a free country. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. So we expect of our government that they will take care of us and that they will find a way to prevent terrorist attacks. That's what this legislation is about. That's what FISA is about and Section 702. Gives them the ability to spy so that they can keep an ear to the ground and, you know, spy on potential terrorists. So they know when there's an attack coming. But then you have people sitting there saying, but privacy, privacy, you can't have that. You're not allowed to do it. I mean, they have abused it. As I recall, if I remember right, and this is just off the top of my head, I believe there was something like the government did seem to abuse it because they used it some 300,000 times during this last rotation between approvals. I don't know how many years exactly that is, but say five. So 300,000 times, that's a lot of times. Where in the United States, they use that to spy on people, Americans. That's a lot of abuse. That's overreach, I would say. But who knows? I mean, because you know what happens as soon as there's a terrorist attack? I'll tell you, and it's so predictable. There's a terrorist attack in the United States. And then the first thing that happens, I would say within the first 12 hours, maybe 24, is the whole narrative gets spun up that the United States let it happen, or that the United States had a failure of intelligence. And who's going to be held accountable for that? And what are we going to do about it? See, so you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. But if they use it and they spy on people, then they're held accountable for that too. I don't have real easy answers for these things. I'm just saying this is a dilemma. And I think our political opponents latch onto that stuff and make the most of it to help tear things down, too. It doesn't matter what happens, government's wrong. Doesn't matter what happens, CIA's wrong. Doesn't matter what happens, FBI, CSIS, all the lettered agencies, they're always, 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 always wrong. And they're evil and they do it to us. And I mean, there's some truth, but at the same time, you got to think there's some good people in there trying to protect us. There are. So anyway, FISA, Section 702, renewed. Will they continue to abuse it? Probably. Yeah, because government does that. Cops do that. That's why you need to limit the power of government too, right? But you've got to find that balance. That's the truth. I know people don't want to hear that.
No, they're just so evil and it's got to go.
Yeah, well then, get ready for another terrorist attack. More planes hijacked and buildings blown up and suicide bombers. It'll come if you don't have protections in place. On the other side, got to make sure you protect the rights and the privacy of individual citizens. I don't want Big Brother watching me either. I don't like it. And I don't like cops, you know, using excessive force. But I still have to have respect and understand that there's a balance that has to be struck. Because I don't want to get blown up either. And I don't want the country blown up. And I don't want to participate in any kind of activity that lends itself to that either. I want to fix the problems and help everybody live a better life. And there you go. That's the way it is on this 21st day of April, 2024. I'm not going to the phones. No. You can have your opinions. I'm not going to subject myself to it tonight. I'm giving my brain a break, and I got other things to do, man. I'm a free man. And you're free, too, if you choose to be. We'll keep fighting for freedom tomorrow night. I should be back. I got a lot of stuff going on. But I think I'll be here. Hope so. I hope you can join me. Probably be 7 p.m. though. Be back 7 p.m. Eastern tomorrow night here on the Maverick News Channel. Love you guys. Hope this one doesn't get censored again. YouTube! Catch you on the flip side.
This has been a Maverick Multimedia Production.